Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I think I better put a bit of lippy on because it's the number one episode of the new season. Oh yeah, I look nice. Okay, let's get some plates. I've got all the lovely lunch, my shopping trolley and the wheelbarrow. Let's load up. So we're going to put the butternut squash and the chickpeas made in that. Oh, a bit hard because I've been cooking a bit long with the rhubarb polenta cake. Hope Jane doesn't mind chickpea bullets for lunch. And whoops, whoop, hear them rolling quite hard. That's it. It's always good to get a few on the floor because, you know, after when you come home, you can sort of skid on them. And that's really good fun. All set. Let's go.
Long, hot days in the shade of some big old tree. Making daisy chains and watching all the honey.
Oh, look. Oh, a fox. Sauntering along.
Come to say hello. Come on, Foxy.
Foxy Loxy.
A bit of cake then to get started.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Look at that.
I hope it's all
so moist.
Well, it just say moisture again.
Moisture. Oh, it's lovely and moist.
Oh, yeah,
shall I taste it and see how... Oh, I can feel how moist it is.
So, Jane, it's the episode one of the new series, and this time we're doing a slightly different slant on queen bees. We're going to be looking in the hive and beyond.
Ooh, how far beyond?
Well, we're going to be looking at the plot. We're going to be going back to my house.
Mm.
We're going to be thinking about what food we grow. Mm-hmm. And I think the favourite thing that you're like is what food we're going to be eating.
Oh, yes. Well, I've experienced a lot of your produce over the years.
Yeah.
And so that will be lovely. I've never had an allotment or never grown anything particularly in my own garden, not successfully anyway. That's interesting, Esther, because in these times where there's going to be restrictions on certain things,
mm-hmm.
like flour, for example,
yeah.
wheat. I think it's very important that we actually do get to come to terms with growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have the facility to be able to grow, even yeah. if you just have like a little windowsill that you could, you know, have some window boxes and grow some tomatoes in window boxes mm-hmm. or some lettuces in window boxes. I think that's really important for right here, right now, isn't it? That we actually do start to look at sustainability a bit more seriously.
Yeah, well, I think it's true. And, you know, I mean, obviously on this allotment, people have been doing that for a long time. But, yeah, like you say, more than ever before, you know, to do it. But I think that's a really good point because you haven't got an allotment. But, you know, you can grow so many things in any sort of container, any sort of hole,
ooh.
You know. Well, some holes you wouldn't be able to grow much because it might be a bit difficult, but you can grow, you know, you can grow things in an old watering can and an old dustbin.
Or a shoe.
You could grow some parsley in a shoe, for instance.
Mm.
And maybe we can set ourselves a little task like that. What funny things could we make use of?
Well, I was going to say a bra, but you'd only get like one seed in my bra, whereas your big cups, you'd be able to grow supplies for quite a large family.
Well, it's true, and actually in the past I did grow some sedums in an old bra.
Did you?
And it did work, but over the season they did get a bit heavy, the soil, and eventually they did break. But it was just a test. but you can grow something. And some of those like Wonder Bras, you know, with a firm mould in them, that could be a bit more supportive. But you can grow things in Hessian sacks, in bags, in anything really. You can even grow, you know, you can grow things in carrier bags if you've got a bit of soil.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's what we really need to be doing, isn't it?
You could grow some potatoes, couldn't you, in a carrier bag?
Absolutely, yeah, as long as you've got a few holes in the bottom. And these big recycled bags, you can definitely use those.
So I suppose the wonderful thing about growing your own as well, Esther, is that you know exactly what's gone on it, what's gone in it, what's gone into the soil, whether there's been any sprays on it. Do you use any sprays?
Oh, no, definitely not. I use nematodes, which is a sort of a little thing that goes in the soil. It's it attacks the slugs, and it's a living organism, and that's very good. And it stops it attacks the slugs and gives them sort of a, you know, it kills them off.
Right.
So
right.
That's a natural product there. But even today, you know, early spring, I've got some lovely rhubarb here and a lovely rhubarb cake that's picked this morning.
So rhubarb you grow through the winter, do you?
Yeah. It doesn't really push out of the soil until early spring, but it's such a treat when it does.
Oh, it is absolutely delicious. So this is a polenta and rhubarb cake, and it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm just in the middle of eating a little bit of this cake, but how much room do you need to grow rhubarb?
Well, you know, rhubarb will grow in like a shady patch, and you know, you could grow it in a big bucket, but you'd have to make sure the roots didn't get too hot and dry. So you do need a nice little patch. I mean, my mum used to grow it in our backyard she used to grow it just by the dustbin, and it grew fine. So it's got like a sort of big sort of hard root under the soil, and it's probably like a football. So really, you need about that much space, and then the leaves are very, very much bigger. And you've got to put lots of
shush, dog.
Lots of compost. Oh, lots of nice greyhounds and lurchers over there.
Having a good time, aren't they?
We're thinking of getting a new dog.
Yeah. The one that you were talking about?
Well, no, Battersea. Battersea have been in touch with us to say the little dog that Tom didn't want has got some sort of diarrhoea problem, so we're not going to go for that. But one of my friends has had some lurcher pups. I would prefer a rescue, but we'll wait and see. So we might have that. We might be having a dog on the podcast too. A lot's happened, hasn't it, since the last series? My mum died, and my dog died. The dog died on Christmas Day, and it was very sad. She was 15, and we didn't know what to do because she died in the night, so we put her in a box. And then on Boxing Day, I got her out, and I gave her a bit of a wash because, you know, she'd had a bit of an accident once she died. And so I washed her with some fairy liquid, and then I made like a shroud, and Tom dug a hole, and we had a little funeral.
Oh, so she's in your garden?
She is, actually. I've got a japonica on top of her.
Have you?
Some snowdrops, yeah. So because she was a white dog, I'm going to go for white planting on top of her. And I am missing her, but I think her death prepared me for my mum's death, which came a few weeks later. So I was at the death of my mum as well as the dog, and it was quite similar. So the dog sort of had the death rattle, and then my mum did. But I kept thinking, well, my mum was dying, I kept thinking, God, she just seems like the dog. So it was a bit of it was a weird sort of distraction. But yeah, there's been quite a lot of grief. But spring has brought some nice, you know, nice, well needed joy.
Good. Well, it is. It's the new beginnings, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the cycle of life, and you definitely see it here. And that's one thing that is always the same, and that is the seasons. Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. My mum died in October, and So I know we've talked a lot about our mums.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm planting a tree for her. We're scattering her ashes up north in June, and we're planting a silver birch for her.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice.
Yeah, and some bulbs all around. So when we were at the bee fair, which we went to a couple of weeks ago, I bought some nice bulbs and bee-loving bulbs and bee-loving seeds.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
I feel quite... I could have a little cry now, do you? Mm. We have orphans now, aren't we?
We are orphans, but we're very free, actually. We have no responsibility. Well, you do. You've still got... Well, I've still got my children, but they've moved away now, so... Mm. But there is a sense of freedom and possibility, I think.
Yeah, it was funny yesterday. I was talking to the picture of my mum, and I said, because I've not really been able to hear her voice much, but I sort of looked at a picture, and then I heard her saying in my mind, "Keep laughing."
Well, good. Well, there you are. Now you're laughing. That's brilliant.
Oh,
laughing through tears. Oh, Esther.
I know. But it is a good... The allotment's a good place for thinking about grief and life all together because, you know, it is a good place for that, I think.
Yeah, and the important thing is to let it out, you know, which is, you know, that is the important thing, and not to hold it in. It's all part of life, and to just allow it to come when it comes.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So today, in the polytunnel, because it's not warm enough to plant the beans out yet, I thought we could sow a few of these bobby beans and put them... It's a bit early, but we could actually put them in the polytunnel and get them going.
Mm.
Yeah. We can also get going in the polytunnel some courgettes and pumpkins. I've been doing that at home. I've got them in my little lean-to and I've heated it up. I've sown all my chilies and they're growing on nicely. And I've sown a few tomatoes, but we've got some tomato seeds we could plant today as well and get those in the polytunnel.
And what are these? Purple King?
Purple King. Is that they're another type of bobby bean.
And they're black.
They're black when they're deep purple when they grow, and then when you pop them in the pan, they turn green again. It's a bit like magic.
Wow.
I think it looks really nice when you grow beans of all different colours, and I've got an arch over there and I move it around and I just like to show off with all different types of beans.
Yeah.
Bellotti beans, bobby beans, yellow beans, haricot beans, just as many different colours because they cheer you up and they taste nice.
Oh, wonderful, Les. So how much time during the summer do you spend at the allotment? Every day?
I mean, realistically, I like to come up every day if I can, or miss a day if I'm too busy. But I do like coming up here every day, especially when the seeds are all growing.
Yes.
But, you know, of course, I'm in Hollywood. It's a bit more difficult because, you know, if I'm doing the new James Bond film, I might be a bit, you know, busy with that.
So, Esther, I would like to ask you, how did this all develop for you? I mean, we know all about the bees and how that developed, and that was kind of latterly, but you always seem like you've been able to plant things and grow things. So do you think... I mean, I know that, you know, we are trying to encourage people to do this on this podcast, but do you think it's kind of innate within you that you just sort of understand how nature works and how to grow things? Or yeah, I just wanted to know really how it sort of began for you when you were saying about your mum growing rhubarb by the bin. Is it that you were taught this sort of thing from an early age by relatives?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always grown stuff. You know, as soon as I moved out of home, even at RADA, I used to grow stuff on my balcony, mainly flowers back in those days. But my grandma and granddad always had an allotment at the end of their garden. And so that's really... And then when I was little, you know, for a time I lived with my grandma and I used to love my granddad's greenhouse with his tomatoes and that sort of thing. And then I just, as soon as I got a little patch... in my first flat, I started growing stuff. Yeah, and I think it's just the sort of person I am. I think, you know, I treat plants as I do my friends. You know, I nurture them and I feed them. And, you know, sometimes some plants are more greedy than others. And
which are the greedier plants?
Courgettes and pumpkins.
So I'd be a courgette and a pumpkin, wouldn't I?
Oh, you definitely would be.
I'm a greedy pumpkin.
Yeah, you have to keep feeding a pumpkin or a squash every week. That's the key. You just give it more and more compost and more manure and, you know, rotten vegetables, anything, and it loves it. And it likes its roots to be warm, full of rotting compost.
So when you started planting at Gordon Mansions in London, mm-hmm. Well, what did Ace just say? Oh, Ace, I don't. This is our landlady. I don't know whether I want anything. What if they fall on people's heads? I think it's very dangerous to grow tomatoes on the windowsill. I don't like it.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Really?
Yeah, because that's what happened. So I had all these pots on the balcony, and there was a storm, and the pots blew off 5 floors up, because we were 5 floors up, weren't we? And Esther was right. Our landlady was called Esther, as well as me being called Esther. And the pots fell off in the night and landed on the pavement below 5 floors down. Luckily...
Nobody was walking,
nobody was hurt. I felt so bad. And after that, I put wires and everything, so everything was firm. But I was mortified, and it really is dangerous. You know, if you have got a windowsill and you are 5 floors up, then you've really got to make sure that everything's secure. I wouldn't encourage anybody to do anything unless... pots were secure, because, you know, it's all and all good if a bucket lands on your head and you fall into a large hole and everybody laughs, but if a plant pot full of soil falls onto your head,
you're gone.
You're a goner.
Well, with that warning of death, shall we go and plant something?
Oh, yes, we'll plant some beans.
So this is a lovely new compost, I see.
Peat-free compost.
Peat-free?
Peat-free compost.
Why peat-free?
Because, you know, we don't want to be using peat.
What's wrong with peat?
Peat
Very
is...
rude towards peat.
So we don't want to use peat because although it's a very, very rich soil, and it's quite... In the old days, people used to use it all the time. You know, there's loads of it, but we've taken it up. You know, it's a bit like... ruining the rainforest, taking all the peat up, it ruins the habitat and, you know, changes the structure of soil structure, you know, in those areas. So we don't use it anymore. We just use normal compost, which
it spoils sort of bird life habitat,
does
it?
Oh, yeah, and it soils them. It's ruining our world, taking up the soil, the peat. It's like destroying the rainforest. It's the same sort of thing.
Oh, right, okay.
So this is just a general compost, and it's got all sorts of, you know, broken down natural green waste. It's good for seed sowing, and it's also good for bringing on plants. So with beans, mm-hmm. it's best to put them into a pot, because soon enough their roots are quite big. So we're just going to put a bit of soil in like that.
Have you done this before, Jane? I have, yes. And I have my own compost.
Oh, very good. And what do you put in your compost?
All my accounts.
Oh, so a lot of paper.
Paper. And, well, obviously all my green waste.
Yeah.
Because I'm veggie, so I've got a lot of bean waste. Yeah. The green waste. And hair.
Oh, yeah.
No citrus fruits. So right. Because it makes the compost very acidic.
Yeah.
Eggs I used to put in, but eggs don't really break down very well.
Eggshells, yeah. It's good if you break them up before you put them in.
Right.
Because that's good for the soil and, you know...
Eggshells.
Yeah, but you do need to break them up.
So what are these that we're planting? Oh, these are the green, the black ones that turn green in the pan.
That's right, Purple King.
Purple King.
He's the Purple King and he's going into the pot. Pot. Right then. So if you put the Purple King seed in there... Yeah. The rule of thumb is that as deep as the seed and then as deep again.
Oh, so that was a bit too deep,
wasn't
it?
Well, actually, when you've watered it, that soil will probably sink down to about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as the deep as the seed and one more deep.
That's right, yeah.
And so you only put one seed into one little hole, not more seeds into a hole.
No.
Is that enough, or should we put more in there?
No, I think three is enough.
This is a little pot, by the way, that we're using.
Personally, if, you know, it's nice. I usually put two in a pot because then if one comes up, the other doesn't. But because these pots are a bit bigger, we can put three.
Purple King going in
again.
And
that's going into the polytunnel. So... We can plant a few more. Well, in another couple of weeks, we'll plant some more, and then they come up at different times. Okay, then. So, well, we could plant a lot more seeds. We could plant.
Oh, look, there's a bumblebee.
Oh yeah, we could plant some cornflower. That's a good thing to do.
Right. So these are quite. That's quite a deep one, isn't it?
Yeah, because they have quite deep, feathery. Stringy roots, so fill that up.
So you need a deeper pot for cornflower.
Well, I always put them in a deeper pot. And then, because they don't really like to be moved, they like to be sown in situ, but we could get some going now.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they've got nice deep pots, then you don't risk that. Then when the roots grow, then you don't disturb them too much.
All right.
So they're not going to be breaking in a small
pot. Uh-huh.
Okay, so here's your cornflowers.
Right. So the same sort of hole?
No. For this, because look how small the seeds are.
All right. So what do we do?
So we're just going to scatter these on the top and then water them in.
Oh, really? So you don't actually fork them in a bit?
No, we don't need to. We just water them and they'll stick to the soil. So, all right then, so you're going to put them in your bare hand because then you can feel how nice they are.
I don't want them in my bare hand. Stop it.
Look, they're like little...
Miss, stop it. It's tickling.
Look, these little cornflowers.
Oh, they're lovely. And they're pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like sort of... They're like punk, actually.
Yeah.
They've got punk hair. They've got a little bottom seed bit and then they've got some punk hair coming all from the top.
Yeah. I see them as like little paintbrushes.
And little paintbrushes or little punks.
And then we'll water those. And they'll just sink into the soil a bit.
Oh, that's okay.
Just go like that. Yeah. Okay. Right, so we've got a few tomato seeds. And then we're done, I think, for today.
Ooh. Yeah. I don't know, is it lunchtime then? Do you think, does your allotment food feed you and your family for the whole of the summer?
Yes, it does.
And more?
The potatoes last a lot longer, and also the squashes, they go on, you know, till about sort of November. They usually run out.
But do you have more left over other than your family? Can you give away?
I'm always giving stuff away.
Yeah, because you've got too much in the end.
Not really, but, you know, I can't help giving them away.
Okay, but you can sustain yourself. You can sustain yourself for the whole of the summer with what you grow.
Yeah.
And if you were a vegetarian... Could you just literally feed yourself for the whole of the summer just on your allotment?
Yeah, well, I don't grow cheese here.
I know, but if you're a vegetarian, if you're a vegan...
I don't grow any nuts.
But apart from the nuts and the pulses, you could sustain yourself.
On vegetables, definitely.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a few things here growing now, Jane.
Haven't we just? Now, these all go into the polytunnel.
Yeah, so we're going to water them all.
All right, OK. Do you have a watering can?
Yeah. A watering can?
So I'm in Esther's polytunnel, which is sort of an oblong shape, and it's covered with a plastic. Hear this? Plastic. And obviously a metal frame, keeping it up. Esther looks like she's going to utilise most of the space in here. So there are actually shelves that have got all the pots on, and then there's soil on either side of a very small pathway. Esther, the okay. In the polytunnel now, I'm looking, you've got the shelf here where...
Hi! That's
one of my neighbours.
Okay, oh, Esther, yeah. Esther, yeah. Concentrate now. Yeah. You, here in your polytunnel,
yeah.
You've got the shelf here where we're putting the seeds that we've just planted. Now, here's a great... On the floor is a great big lump of soil. What's happening here? And a pan, an old pan.
Well, actually, this is where... This is where I buried my mother. She's under all this soil now. What's... So don't stand on her, will you?
Right, well, it is a grave size.
It is, actually, yeah. Well, she fitted in quite well because she was actually very, very fat.
Oh.
Yeah, and she smoked a lot of cigarettes.
Well, she was short. She was quite short because it's only a small patch. But anyway...
She's under there, and that will be a good fertiliser for these things that I'm going to be growing there.
Where are you growing? What are you growing here? The tomatillas.
Anything that you can grow with a dead body is like peas, beans, another hungry feeder like courgettes, as we said, pumpkins, they'll all grow very nicely on top of a dead body.
Mm. So, got the watering cans.
Okay, yep.
Thank you. Oh, it's heavy.
Oof. That's lovely. That's great.
And the last one.
Oh, it's great. These are the first seeds that I've put in the polytunnel because most of my seeds are all at home.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I can say that I planted them with you.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm sorry, I put some soil on you then.
Oh, I don't mind. I like soil.
I'll put some soil on you then.
Right, we'll just water those cabbages for me as well, just a bit.
Are they pretty? When did you plant those?
They were like just before, you know, at the end of the year.
Oh, at the end of the year?
Yeah.
And these are purple cabbages?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
They're lovely. Lovely colour. Mm-hmm. So here, Esther, you've got some old plastic from the compost bags and you're growing stuff in this old plastic.
Yeah, that's right. So it's just an old window box that I found on the street.
It's just a sort of metal one, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I filled it with plastic and then I'll be just filling it with soil.
That's brilliant, isn't
it? And then I usually grow my basil in there.
Yeah, very fantastic. So now, Essie, most importantly... Lunch.
Do you only come for the lunch, Jane? Do you only love me for the lunch?
I think I'd be dishonest if I said not.
What does that noise remind you of?
Is it hummus?
So it's a tahini. That's a tahini dressing.
Tahini dressing. And what is in the salad?
So we've got squash, chickpeas and onions.
I see some pumpkins in there.
Yeah, some
pumpkin seeds.
Some pumpkin seeds, kale. Freshly chopped kale, massaged by my own hands.
Kale massaged?
Yeah, you massage it and then you don't have to cook it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then we've got as an extra treat, we've got some pomegranates, which are in season, aren't they, at the moment?
Are they?
Yeah. So this makes it a little
bit... Are they from Morocco?
Well, yeah, I haven't grown these.
Did you go to Morocco to get them?
I did, on a camel, and it was ever so good.
Was it? Did you fall off the camel?
Oh, no. I was jiggling a bit, though, on it.
Ooh, I bet you were. Look, there's still some seeds left in this bowl that you've missed.
All right, then. Now, what do we think? A few seeds?
It looks beautiful, Essie.
Right, and we've got dill or coriander.
Oh, both, do you think?
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, let's have both. So this feels like it's been a very good start to a new idea.
Oh, yes. I'll definitely be growing some dill as well. That's ever so easy to grow.
Mm. But, I mean, I think that this is, it's just so lovely to start from the seed planting, see what develops, and then how one feeds oneself.
Exactly.
From what you've grown. And also, because you're such a great cook, to learn... through the process of this, all the things you can use with the various things that you're cooking.
Yeah.
Are you cooking asparagus, by the way? I mean, are you planting asparagus?
No, well, actually, I used to have a lovely asparagus bed on my last plot, but it was a very shaded spot, and, you know, because of the bees and everything, I needed to move. Mm. So my friends who have taken it over, they've got they're reaping the benefits of my asparagus
plot. Oh, are they?
Yeah. Mm. But no asparagus, sadly.
Well, anyway, I think it's been lovely talking about all your produce today. And here's to more.
Here's to spring and springtime.
Yes. Oh, I do love you.
I love you, darling.
Oh. And I do come to see you, not just for the lunch.
Okay, then. I'll let you off.
Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard and partly recorded at the Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the Hive. Queen Bees is a Hat Trick podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.